Noon, let's take our Bibles and turn to Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. And as we continue this minor prophet of Micah with a major message, religious but not right. Question is it possible to be religious but not right? Is it possible to do religious things but not to have your heart right with God? See, I told you we're going to talk about that heart thing again. Can a person pray and not have his heart right? Can a person read the Bible and not have his heart right? Can a person go to church and have his heart right? Can a person sing a hymn and not have his heart right? Can a person quote a Bible verse and not have his heart right? Can a person even partake in the Lord's table and not have their heart right? Well, you'd certainly hope that if someone doesn't have their heart right and they're going to pray, for forgiveness or pray that God would save them. If they're going to read their Bible and their heart's not right, then you trust that the Spirit of God would take the words from the Bible and get their heart right. And if they come to church with not having a right heart, we trust being in the fellowship of believers and hearing the Word of God, singing the praises of God, that a person would get their heart right. You know, you can quote many verses in the scriptures. You can quote whole books of the Bible and still not have a right heart. And you can partake of the Lord's table and not have your heart right. Being religious, performing a ritual without heart and head is not a proper response before God. And if a person has a heart problem, being religious is not going to solve it. You see, only God can solve heart problems. Religious acts and words do not set a person free from the terrible prison house of sin. Who's the only one that can set us free? Well, Jesus said, I shall make you free and free indeed. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we go to Micah chapter 3, let me draw your attention to Matthew chapter 7. In verses 21 to 23, the Lord Jesus describing some people who were religious but not right. We saw this in our message from Mark chapter 3 this morning already. And so you think about how these verses show these people were religious and think about how they did not have a right heart. Again, religion does not fix problems. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, and he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, if people are going to practice evil and not let God fix their real problems, especially their heart problems, then this is only going to bring more and more problems and pressures, and finally the judgment of God. So what does Matthew 7:23 tell us about the punishment of the people who are religious but not right? He says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, the prophet Isaiah lived at the same time that the prophet Micah lived. The people that Isaiah preached to were the same people that Micah preached to. And in Isaiah chapter 1, we clearly see that the people were religious but not right. If you read Isaiah chapter 1, it will show that these people were religious. In the Old Testament times, people would offer sacrifices. The Jewish people offered animal sacrifices to the Lord. And if a person's heart was right, then it would be pleasing to the Lord. But for many people, bringing sacrifices became just another religious thing to do. And they would do it even if their heart was not right before God. In Proverbs 15 and verse 8, The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Is God pleased with the sacrifice of the wicked? No. So what is it that he delights in? He delights in the prayer of the upright. Proverbs 28 and verse 9 describes a person who does not listen to the word of God. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Is this person still religious? What religious thing does he do? Well, he prays. Is God going to be pleased by that? Certainly not. God is looking for a right heart. God would rather have a right heart than no ritual, and no ritual than having ritual and no right heart. It'd be better not to bring any sacrifice at all than to bring a sacrifice when your heart is not right. Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God is not looking for outward ritual. He's looking for a right heart. Religious activity doesn't make a bad person good. A lot of people think that, don't they? Being religious does not solve a person's problems. God wants the heart to be right. There are many people who do not mind being religious, but they do not want to be right. So as we get to Micah chapter 3 here, Micah is going to point out the great sins of the people who were the leaders of this nation. It's the political leaders, the spiritual leaders. So the first thing we see is the princes of Israel. Beginning in verse 1, he says, I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them. They break their bones and chop them into pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behave themselves ill in their doings." In chapter 3 and verse 1, Micah is speaking about the princes, the rulers, the leaders. Verse 2 shows us that they have a real spiritual problem. They hate the good and they love the evil. Boy, does that sound familiar? They have it all backwards, like many people and many leaders in our own country have it backward today. They should have done the opposite. They should have done, as Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 9, abhor or hate that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. What does the Lord Jesus Christ love? What does he hate? Well, Hebrews 1, 9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." Psalm 97, verse 10, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." You see, those who love the Lord should do what? They should do as the people in Micah's day. They should hate evil, and they should love good, or righteousness. Now, in the last chapter, chapter 2, we saw how these people were selfish, how they were willing to oppress and harm other people as long as they could benefit and become richer and more powerful. Don't tell me that the Bible's not relevant to today. Micah chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 describe the terrible oppression. I mean, that's pretty tough stuff to think about in verses 2 and 3. They were destroying people. In the last chapter, we saw they even destroyed the women and the children. And this is very strong language that Micah uses. They're like wild beasts. And then people have a problem with our president calling some people animals. And that's exactly what is described here. As the leaders of the people, they should have been good shepherds. But they were the worst shepherds that any sheep could ever have. Instead of feeding the flock, they were fleecing the flock. You know what fleecing is? That's removing the fleece from the sheep. That means to skin them alive. Instead of feeding the flock, they were feeding upon the flock. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. They were like a butcher cutting up meat for boiling. They were like a cannibal. They're doing what a cannibal would do to his victims at a feast. Proverbs 30 and verse 14 says the same thing. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor off the earth and the needy among men. And then notice Psalm 14 verse 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? The day is coming when these sinful rulers are going to be in big trouble. And at that time, they're going to call upon the Lord. But will God hear them? Will God help them? Not according to verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. They showed no mercy on others, and so God is going to show no mercy to them. God will do to them as they've done to others. Proverbs 1:28 teaches us the same thing. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Brings us to the prophets of Israel. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. And he putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin. In verse 5, Mike is talking about the prophets. Did the prophets make the people go God's way, or did they make the people go the wrong way, to err? Now that phrase there, to bite with their teeth, that really means they had plenty to eat. Most of you used your teeth at lunch today, and I think you had plenty to eat. If you didn't, it's your own fault. We usually use our teeth the most when we're eating a big meal, right? And the verse does, what it does show us is that these prophets were selfish. They were saying, if you pay me and feed me fine meals, and I will give you a message that you would really like, you know, I'll give you a message of peace. And all's going to be well with you. But if you do not feed me, then you're going to be my enemy. That would be like a police officer talking to a poor lady who's just been robbed and saying, you know, if you give me $50, I'll go chase the crook. But if not, I'll arrest you. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Well, these prophets were not serving God. They were serving themselves. And Paul describes them as people whose God is their belly in Philippians 3:19. So what is God doing about these prophets? Well, they're going to be in big trouble. They're told about this trouble in verses 6 and 7. God is not going to speak or answer these people, and they'll be left in darkness. These prophets kept others in dark, and so God is going to put them in the dark. He's going to do with them what they did to others. Now, Micah, he's a little different here, isn't he? Actually, he's very different. He's different than these false and selfish and greedy prophets. The difference is explained in verse 8. God is the difference. The Spirit of God gave Micah power and courage to do the right thing and to say the right thing. You see, Micah told it like it is. He was not afraid to speak out against sin. His job was to show the people their sin. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Do you think the people wanted to hear about their sin? By the way, do you like to hear about your sin? I doubt it. I don't. But sometimes we need to hear about our sin. And Isaiah, he told it like it was. He told the people about their sin, just like Micah is telling them about their sin. Even today, there are many people who want to have their ears itched and tickled. 2 Timothy 4:3. They want to hear nice things and pleasing things, but they don't want to be told how sinful they really are. They want the preacher to tell them good news. You know, preach peace. Don't say anything bad. But what must a true and faithful preacher do? Let's preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Suppose you had a deadly growing cancer in your body. Or we could use Jack as an example. Suppose you had a heart problem. And the doctor said, "Hey, you're okay. Just go ahead, go. We looked you over. Nothing wrong with you." Or if you had cancer and they said, "You'll be good. There's nothing wrong with you. You're in perfect health." What would you think about a doctor like that who misled you about your physical condition? What about a preacher who misleads you about your sinful condition? Just smile and everything will be fine, right? God gave Micah, God gave Isaiah and other true prophets great power and courage and boldness. That's what it says in verse 8 here. "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob and his transgression, to Israel his sin." God wants every believer to have power today. And where does that come from? The Spirit of the Lord. Micah was a man who had a right heart, and therefore God could use him and bless him in a wonderful way. Brings us to the princes, the prophets, and the priests. That's verse 9 through 12. Verse 9 says, "Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and the princes of the house of Israel, and that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for a reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, 'Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us.' Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as high places of the forest." In verse 9, the princes and the rulers are once again described. The princes hated justice. They hated doing things in a fair and right way. They perverted all equity. This means they could twist everything that was straight, and they would twist everything that was right and make it crooked and wrong. And Micah tells them their sin in verse 10. And then in verse 11, all the leaders are mentioned, princes or heads, prophets and priests. And we learn that all of them were guilty of the same terrible sin, greed. Makes you wonder, are there any righteous people in our government today? Or are they all greedy? Well, these men were not serving God. They were serving themselves. They wanted to help no one but themselves. For example, we're told the rulers would allow themselves to be bribed. And suppose a criminal were to whisper to a judge, "You know, if you say I'm not guilty, I'll give you $100. This money might help you decide my case. And if the judge makes his decision simply because he wants the money, he's guilty of taking bribes. Now, did God's holy law say that a person should do this? Certainly not. Exodus 23 and verse 8 says, "And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous." Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19 says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of righteous." You see, the leaders of God's people needed to be very careful about money. Was the Apostle Paul out for money, or was he trying to help people come to God? I think Paul had a right heart. You read about him trying to help people to come to God in Acts chapter 20. But these sinful people were not thinking straight. Even their thinking was crooked and twisted. They said here in verse 11, "Is not the Lord among us?" They thought he was really among them. In spite of how they were acting. But can God really be among the wicked? Why do you think God was with them and among them? Or why did they think it was that God was with them? They probably thought something like this. Well, you know, we've got a temple here. We're God's special people, aren't we? Are we not the children of Abraham? Don't we have the Ten Commandments of God's holy law? All these things are fine. They're true. But God is after the heart. They also said something else that was very twisted. They said, "None evil can come upon us. Nothing's happened to me yet." In other words, they were saying, "No disaster will happen to us. Nothing bad will happen to us." Is that right thinking? Is that correct thinking? Should sinful people think that nothing bad is going to happen to them? Well, how can God bless sin? If the heart is not right, then the person has a problem with God. And today a person might think something like this: "Nothing bad can happen to me because I go to church every week. God is not going to punish me." What about that kind of thinking? Is that correct thinking? Does going to church make your heart right? In verse 12, we discover that evil or disaster was going to come upon them, even though they did not think it would. God was going to punish them because of their sin. The judgment of God is just and right, exactly what they deserved. Sinful man will reap the results of sin. In 586 BC, the Babylonian army came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And this verse came to pass, verse 12. Just like Micah said, the city became a heap of rubble. And we can read about it in Nehemiah 2 and Nehemiah 4. The great city became just like a town dump, city dump. Nothing but a heap of ruins. And then chapter 3 here comes to a close by giving us a very dark picture of God's terrible judgment on a city of Jerusalem. Chapter 4 is going to be a little brighter, okay? This is kind of a dismal message here, but chapter 4 is going to be much brighter. And we're going to see something wonderful there, but you'll have to come back next week to find that out. It's like one of those to-be-continued stories. In chapter 4, though, I'll give you a hint. Jerusalem will become one of the greatest cities in the world. Chapter 3 may have a dismal ending, but God wants us to learn a very important lesson here. Religion and ritual is not enough. And if all we do is come to church as a ritual, as a religion, it's not going to cut it. God wants our hearts to be right. And our problems will never be solved if our hearts do not get right. So let's fix our hearts. And let's let God do a work in our hearts today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you.